All right, we know we've set up a Friday afternoon when the most stylish man to ever make his way
thank you, Mark.
An establishment in New Lambton, Dennis Stewart.
I've got to lift the tone of things here. You guys rocking up in your black T-shirts, I've got to look the part.
I've kind of got that Inspector Gadget look. You open the wardrobe and there's 15 black T-shirts, 2 pairs of jeans. That's how we roll, Dennis.
Yeah, well, I've got one old coat that I keep wearing.
That's all right. Look, I was not here last Friday and you decided to, in solidarity to be away as well. So that was mighty white of you.
In sympathy with you.
Sympathy. I was on holidays. Anyway, Dennis, today, this is a timely one, right, because it's school holidays. So you want to take a look at the importance of improving resistance to children that may suffer from those reoccurring infections over and over, general health as well. Yeah. And 2 simple herbs from the Western herbal medicine tradition that may help.
Look, I've been encouraged to take this topic up, mainly as a result of helping a young lady over a number of consultations in my rooms at New Lambton, who is typical of young people that I saw very early in my profession, practicing particularly on the Central Coast, where it was very, very common to see kids... young teenagers, even a bit younger, presenting with a dual problem of a propensity to go down with any infection and secondarily what we would loosely refer to as a failure to thrive. That is a bit of anorexia, disinterest in eating, not in any way at all disturbed psychologically or anything, but manifesting those 2 traits of... They'd go down literally with everything, i.e. their immunity perhaps was being challenged, and secondarily that was spinning off into a considerable disinterest in food and diet, and as a result, a bit of weight loss and a failure, in fact, to thrive, as I call it. Well, interestingly, that condition is starting to reassert itself. And as I said, I'm helping a young lady presently who epitomises those characteristics that I saw so early in my profession in a different era altogether. And she has done well with the treatment that I developed then based on 2 simple herbs made famous by English herbalists who were my mentors. And the 2 herbs that I'll talk about in a moment were echinacea, which is pretty well known, and I'll explain why it's well known, but secondarily, a herb that's not well known to the ordinary lay person, but is well known within the English-speaking herbal medicine tradition, and that is the herb agrimony. I'll talk about them. Remarkable remedies that's changed the direction of this young lady's health.
Dennis Stewart is here. Dennis, in a moment we'll actually we'll try and wait for a couple of those calls to come through because I don't want them to bank up on you. And then people will sort of be upset with me that they don't get to connect with you.
Okay.
And the last thing we want is upset folks.
Oh, of course.
It is going to be a very interesting discussion when we make our way here this afternoon to look at children's way to keep the kids a little bit healthier. And I look forward to hearing, seeing what you've got with those herbs as well. So I know that's very exciting stuff not too far away. You don't want to say anything? No?
You good? Of course. I'm just following you. You're doing very well.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm actually just having to restart my phone program. That's why I'm...
Okay.
Good afternoon, Faye from Glendale. You have a question for Dennis today, Faye?
Yes, I would. I would like to ask Dennis. I've had cystitis for 60 years.
Yes.
Now I'm older. I'm getting it very regular. And I wonder if he's got any pills, potions that I might be able to take to ward it off, because all I do is take antibiotics, then get it again in a couple of weeks. And it's getting me down.
Okay. Look, there are a couple
of
things.
So I was wondering if he could suggest something that might help to prevent it. I know. There's nothing now, really.
One of the things that you need to do is go to your pharmacist and get hold of a product called D-Mannos. Capital D dash M A double N O S E, D Mannos. Now, he will know what we're talking about. D Mannos is a newer substance being used in medicine, both natural medicine and conventional medicine, as a preventative agent. It's not so much a treatment to address the acute.
Can't hear.
It's not so much a remedy to treat the acute episode, but it works preventatively. D-Mannos. It's one of the most useful devices that I have used over the last decade or so, and with ladies that are stubbornly affected by cystitis, which for the sake of listeners is a urinary tract infection, very commonly experienced in women, but also in men, but very frequently in women. D-mannose is your starting...
Hello.
Hello. D-mannose is your starting base.
All right, we might see if we can get Faye back on hold there because we're having some... Faye's having some problems hearing us.
Oh, so, dear.
Good afternoon to you, Kay. You have a question for Dennis today.
Oh, good afternoon. Yes, yes, Dennis.
Hello.
Kay. I was... been taking ginkgo for quite some time,
yes,
in the form of a cramp thing that I bought in the supermarket, and it has ginkgo and also cramp bark and some magnesium and B6, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that when I take a couple of those, I'm sort of getting actions like as if I'm on blood thinners. Is that an issue with ginkgo or...?
Okay, look, ginkgo, in my opinion...
Can you
needs,
sort of elucidate that for me?
Ginkgo needs to be wisely used. It is a very strong...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm having the same problem as the previous listener.
Dear.
You sound like you're miles away.
I'm sorry about that. I'll screech if I can, but it probably is not going to do much better for you.
Well, that is a bit better.
Okay.
Yes.
What I guess I'm saying is that ginkgo is a very medicinal herb and needs to be used, in my opinion, cautiously. And sometimes it's best to be used on its own, depending on what you're trying to achieve. As far as having blood thinning characteristics, that's debatable, although those of us that use ginkgo, and I prescribe it a lot, would be reluctant to prescribe it to people that were on medications from their doctor that were blood thinning medications, because there is the position taken within the profession that there is the possibility for ginkgo to aggravate the clotting or the blood thinning characteristics of common anticoagulants. So it's difficult to say in your case because it's mixed with so many other things. That would trouble me a bit. But if you are experiencing symptoms similar to blood thinning medication, I would advise you to pause, see what the response is once you have ceased using the preparation, and then make a decision as to whether or not it was that that was causing these symptoms. Or what you can do, of course, is probably better still, go to your pharmacist, or you can come to my rooms at New Lambton, either way, and talk to a professional about the preparation you're taking, why you're taking it, the level of concentration of the ginkgo. That's a big thing with ginkgo. Ginkgo depends very much on its concentration and its dosage. But coming back to your point, I would pause, respect what you think is happening, get it investigated, and if you're wanting to get a ginkgo effect, in my opinion, you're probably better to use it on its own after you have determined whether or not you were getting, say, some of these symptoms that you're talking about.
All right, best of luck for you as well, Kay. Or part of Health Naturally. Dennis, I know we'll get to some of the herbs for kids. That's what we'll call it, herbs for kids.
Oh, well
in a
done,
minute.
Well done.
I know, right?
Well done.
But first, we want to just wrap up. We had Faye on a couple of minutes ago.
Yes.
And Faye, a little bit hard of hearing, so yes, she wasn't able to stick around. But just for the benefit of Faye and others who may still be listening on cystitis.
Okay. As I said earlier, cystitis is an infection of the urinary tract, very painful and very common, particularly in women and particularly elderly women. Now, it is traditionally treated with antibiotic medication, as this lady has had frequently all through her life. But these days, what we try to do in natural medicine, which we've always tried to do, by the way, is look at substances that have an ability to build up resistance to urinary tract infection. And there are two substances, but the one that is most well-defined these days is a preparation that goes under the name of D-mannose, M-A-N-N-O-S-E. Now, that is a powdered preparation, readily available and relatively inexpensive. I had a lot to do in promoting its use and reading some of the initial literature on it, and have subsequently prescribed it successfully in practice. Doesn't work for everyone, but if you haven't tried Demonose, it's worthwhile trying, because what it actually does, it actually stops bacterial proliferation. It's very similar to the herb cranberry. Both of them share a similar action in inhibiting bacterial adherence to the walls of the urinary tract, particularly the bladder and the whole urinary apparatus. So its presence in microscopic levels, the presence of its chemistry in the system as it passes through the urinary system, has an ongoing preventative potential, which lessens the ability of the bacteria to thrive and feed on the wall, if you like. And as a result, the level of bacterial activity drops somewhat, sometimes so adequately that it will break through the regularity of the infection. Even if it doesn't break through entirely, it normally will lessen the experience of it and lessen the regularity of it. And in this dear lady's case, what I would be suggesting is that she use Demonose, but also, whether she be at the supermarket, the pharmacy or the health food store, also use one of the modern preparations of cranberry. Cranberry on its own hasn't given me the joy that I would have expected from the herb for urinary tract infections, but it has good documentation, and it's worthwhile appending to a treatment these days in our system using Demonose as the primary preventative remedy.
And Dennis, so wait for a couple more calls to come through. You've been dealing with it very nicely today, so well done. Today we're having a look at, and timely with kids' school holidays, maybe some kids at home might be a little bit crook, maybe they're just, you know, not quite 100% all of the time. A couple of herbs that you found that may help in this space. The first, echinacea, how and why?
Well, before we even talk about these herbs, the first thing to appreciate, particularly from the parent's point of view, is that any kid's condition that's characterised by the development, say, of a bit of anorexia, disinterest in eating, together with a faltering resistance to infection, that obviously needs to be prefaced by some investigation. So all that I'm going to say now is based on the preface that the individual we're talking about has been deemed medically to have nothing that can explain their situation.
And so putting a couple of asterisks.
Absolutely.
Around it,
yeah. And this is the role of complementary medicine, not to contradict the mainstream approach. And I said that because too frequently people will take a condition like this, rock up to a retail outlet, get a handful of this and a handful of that, generally speaking, get nowhere, for a condition that would be better treated professionally and conservatively, either by a medico, a pharmacist, or a natural therapist such as myself that's treated the condition. Now, with that in mind, I come back to my experience over many years and what I initially used to see a lot of in my rooms at William Street, Gosford, in the late 70s and early 80s, and that was a situation with kids whose parents brought them and said, look, they're good kids, but they're just not interested in eating.
I never had that problem, Dennis.
No, I can tell that.
No, it's not once.
they're not interested in eating, but more problematically, they seem to be going down with nearly every infection that's around the place. They're constantly experiencing coughs and colds, tonsillitis, middle ear infections.
I had that one.
Yeah, I know. That's very, very common. Now, in that situation, the combination that I spoke about, the use of a standardised medical strength liquid echinacea, has been the backbone of my treatment of that type of kid's condition for nearly all my life. But it was brought into a modern perspective in recent times by helping this young lady, who reminded me so much of what I frequently saw, more so in that era than now. Now, I can't explain that, but it might have something to do with the development of the Central Coast, young couples with many more kids. My practice up here now is more to do with adult problems, but this young lady has a similar situation, and I placed her on the herb echinacea. Now, why would I have used the herb echinacea? If you read the literature, echinacea is a renowned herb for improving, if we call it this, immune health in kids that seemingly falter from one infection to another. It differs from the ginkgo. The ginkgo is a much, it differs from astragalus in as much that astragalus is more of an adult herb, more related, in my opinion, to adult immune deficiencies. Echinacea has always been seen as more usefully prescribed for kids' recurrent infections, viral or bacterial, tonsillitis conditions, upper respiratory tract infections. And it is still underappreciated by natural therapists who have drifted away from some of the common and more effective herbs than what is presently being taught today. That's a big, big challenge to the profession, isn't it? So that lass was put on that quite some time ago. And in conjunction with that, I prescribed the herb that is not well known, and I haven't mentioned it too much, but in the older literature, which I subscribe to, the literature written by some of the great greats of British medical herbalism, Alfred Preece, for instance, who wrote a book called Herbal Medication, magnificent text which we used in Southern Cross Herbal School, as well as in the university course on the Central Coast campus. We use his book, which is a traditional rendition of Western herbs from the English perspective. Agrimony is the herb that is best referred to as a tonic remedy. Now, what's a tonic remedy? Well, it's a broad-spectrum term. But in the context of treating disinterest in food, in the context of helping a child assimilate, perhaps, food better, and in a situation where the parent is disturbed that the child is not thriving, they're healthy enough in their attitude, but their interest in food is not great, not a lot of weight being put on, even a concern that there may be a little bit of anorexia. That is where Alfred Preece and the other English herbalists of a generation ago saw this herb, agrimony, as specific, a kid's herb, with the main indicator, the key indications being a failure to thrive. Placed that young lady on those two herbs quite some weeks ago. The change in the young woman is so outstanding that I had to mention it today because it reminded me of the old days when I used to see a lot of this, and it reminded me that the old remedies, which are being bypassed by more costly proprietary-owned natural medicines, the old remedies, in the old way of prescribing them, work in accordance with the literature that was written by our greats. And I prescribed that, and it is one of the most successful results in recent times. The child has not had an infection since she's been on the preparation, and I put that down to the potential of echinacea taken ongoingly to build up resistance to infection, and she has put on some weight. There is an interest in food. Thriving is starting to take place. That coincides with the expectation of the herb agrimony in a liquid combination. And a liquid combination, not something solid, not something expensive, not a proprietary medication. Natural medicine, in my opinion, has gone overboard by costly proprietary preparations, increasingly owned by overseas companies. Herbal medicine is a traditional profession, and it gets its best results when it prescribes along traditional lines in traditional preparations. And for parents, therefore, that want to challenge the ability of these two remedies, you must seek a professional consultation either with your pharmacist, medical herbalist or naturopath that uses liquid herbs and can prescribe the preparation in the right proportions and in the right dosage. But for kids in that scenario, that combination's hard to beat, Mark. It really is.
And Dennis, it sounds like in no time after that turnaround, she'll be on the pizzas and the pies before you know it.
Well, I don't mind a pie, actually.
There you go.
Hey, I'm a pie face fairly regularly.
What flavour? Your favourite one?
Oh, no, I've got to have a curry one.
Oh,
curry pie. Oh, wow.
A little bit more of Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart on the way. If you have a question for Dennis or a suggestion for a pie, it's kind of lunchtime. Elizabeth from Cardiff South. Elizabeth, the question for Dennis on peripheral sensory neuropathy. What's happening, Elizabeth?
Well, I've recently been diagnosed with inner ear function loss, vestibular function loss, and the neuropathy is linked to that. So I didn't know if you had any solution or things that I might be able to do.
That's a big call, Elizabeth.
Yes, I thought it might be.
Look, I've been in practice a long time, and what I do, I learn from my patients, and I don't dismiss a lot of what they say. And now, it's interesting that this call has come in today, because I had a gentleman yesterday who is experiencing peripheral neuropathy. Now, admittedly, he's diabetic, and there's no way that I'm aware of that can clinically explain the benefit that he has had, he claims, as a result of taking on board what I said some weeks ago about improving peripheral circulation by using a capsule of capsicum or cayenne. Cayenne is chili, but in an encapsulated form, it is very easily taken. It has no real challenge to the gut wall. And it is a herb that is renowned for promoting peripheral circulation. But how this converts into his experience of some reduction in his neuropathic symptoms puzzles me. And I've thought a lot about it, because I saw the gentleman yesterday, and I can assure you I wasn't aware that you were going to ask this question today. He's also using the herb ginkgo, which has peripheral benefits as well, but neither of them have anything explicit in the literature saying that they have any chemistry that would explain some improvement. But this gentleman is a very intelligent person, knows what he's doing. He's got a good handle on the things that he's using and taking, and I respect what he has said. I don't dismiss it. Now, he's not saying that his neuropathy is resolved. What he is saying is that since he has been using cayenne, that his symptoms have noticeably altered. Now, okay. I throw that in, not in any way at all to say this is the cure. I cop a lot of flack from my antagonists in the mainstream who see me as a quack, despite the fact that I've been practicing longer than most of them and will probably outlive most of them. I would give it a go, put it that way. It is not an expensive substance. I'm looking into it. We do know that the principles in capsicum, when applied topically in preparations such as Ostrix, do lessen the symptoms. And you should talk to your pharmacist about perhaps using Ostrix, which is a topical preparation that is used for neurological conditions. I'd give it a go.
Okay, well, I don't have any pain with the neuropathy.
Good.
It's just vague numbness.
Right. Well, this is where I think it would be worthwhile.
Zostrix.
Yeah, well, Zostrix topically, and also taking on board what this chap said. I don't dismiss it.
All right, best of luck for you, Elizabeth. Hope it all goes okay for you. Good afternoon, Simone at Long Jetty. Simone, you have a question on CMOS for Dennis today.
Hey, how you going, Dennis?
Hello, Simone. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
I've been hearing a lot about CMOS, and I wonder if it's as beneficial as what it's saying that it is. And if so, do I have to take it daily?
Okay. Or is it... I'm aware of a preparation called Irish Moss.
Yeah.
What have you been recommended to use it for?
Brain fog, healthy gut, energy levels, skin.
I certainly would not have used it in my career for those purposes. But
yeah, it seems too good to be true.
And look, I've got to be confident about what I recommend in my profession, but what I say is this. Since I've been in practice for nearly 45 years, I've seen some unfortunate changes occur in natural medicine, and that is it has become, in my opinion, taken over by the industry, and in many cases, particularly overseas, products are flogged on the net, particularly making absurd claims that in this country would be forbidden, and people get trapped into using a product for a purpose which is pretty difficult to justify. Irish moss is still, in my opinion, one of the most useful devices for soothing an irritable cough, and my practice and my patients are desperately trying to locate some presently, which is hard to get, as many of the old remedies are. I'd be a little bit sceptical about the claims. I hope you're not paying a lot of money for it.
Oh, no, no. I thought I'd look into it and do my own little research and ask, you know, a professional.
That's good. That's good.
And yeah, look, it just seemed too good to be true. I mean, not one thing does all of that.
No, but if you can sell something and make a buck out of it, there are people in this world that will tell you the story if they can put your dollar in their pocket.
Thank you so much, Simone. Last one for us today, Dennis. Shirley at Katara. Shirley, you have a question on shingles for Dennis.
Yes, I have, Dennis.
Hello, Shirley.
How are you?
I'm well. Where do you have your shingles?
Well, I was diagnosed with shingles 14 months ago on the right side of my face, top of my head.
Oh, dear.
Down the side of my face.
Dear.
And I'm still getting the sharp pains in the head. Not as much, but...
Now, has...
I'm really over them, and I just...
It has not affected your eyesight in any way?
No, I've had an eye check every...
Oh, good.
3 months, but it's quite sore. My top of my head's quite sore.
Yes.
My forehead, half of my forehead is sore. I'm just over it.
Well, look, what I would recommend, and fortunately it is not expensive, it is one of the most safest of herbs, is a herb called wood betony, B-E-T-O-N-Y. Now, wood betony has been made famous by the English school of herbalists, particularly a northern English herbalist known as William Smith. He wrote a remarkable little book called Wonders in Weeds. If it had had a more technical name, it would have been given more credibility. But wood betony is renowned for having some dampening effects on neurological symptoms. It's not much use for the acute phase of what you've been experiencing, shingles, but at this chronic stage, taken as oral medication, it might just take the edge off the condition, which in any case has improved and will probably continue to improve. I think that might be the way to go. If it was anywhere else, I'd suggest you try some topical Zostrix, but in as much that it's on your face, you'd only want to do that with some medical supervision.
Okay, righto. And where can I pick up this?
Oh, look, where do you live?
Katara.
Okay. You'd be able to get it from my rooms at New Lambton, but always try your own pharmacy first.
All right.
If you can't get it there, my rooms at Alma Road would have it for you.
Best of luck with everything, Shirley. It does sound quite painful, Dennis.
It does, but she's in the you'd call the waning phase of it.
Excellent stuff, sir. All right, thank you so much, Shirley. Dennis, look, the hourglass is going to get us today, but in about 30 seconds, just to wrap up on some of the children's health stuff you're looking at before, a couple of factors that may contribute to the lingering kids' infections, and 30 seconds.
Well, look, I quickly read Dr. Sandra Gabeau's excellent work on COVID and immune deficiency conditions, and in her section dealing with kids' immune problems, she made the statement, which I concur with, that kids' immune deficiency, which we're seeing today by their propensity for infection, has everything to do with the nutrient deficiency diet that now is dominant as the food we're feeding our kids. That is, if you like, an acceleration of junk food in the diet from breakfast right through to dinner. Totally different world to when I was growing up, when you was fed good tucker and plenty of it, not proprietary stuff. I agree with Dr. Sandra Cabot, a great doctor and a great naturopath. The main problem with immune deficiency conditions in kids is what I call the nutrient deficient diet.
Time to get out the door and have that curry pie, Dennis.
I'm hanging out for it.
All right, mate. Appreciate it. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you, mate.
All right, that's a full stop on another Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.